Sometimes we can think, well, you know, I know about that subject and I know God loves me and everything else, but if you're of that mindset that I once was many, many, many years ago, I hope that you learned like I did that I only knew about that much of, you know, what that is all about. Because that's what we want to share with you a little bit about this morning. And really, in asking you the question, do we really know how much God loves us? Do we really understand His love, how much He loves us? Because if we think about that for a while, and we think about, you know, ponder that and think about it and meditate on it and everything else, really, if we don't understand anything about that, we're really affecting our own lives in every part of our lives. Because let me just tell you, what you know about God's love and how He loves you affects every area of your life.
Yes.
Every area of your life. Because you find yourself in this area, let's say, and you're faced with a situation, it really goes back to how much God loves you, how much He cares for you, and how much, basically, you know of that love towards you in this situation. Whether it be health, whether it be prosperity, whether it be liberation, whether it be whatever part of your life that you're, you know, facing circumstances in. And we face first with the circumstances in every parts of our life, in every day. So, if we can take a look at that from that standpoint of view, really, our understanding about how much God loves us affects every part of our life. And sometimes, you know, in talking with people, you'll understand. You'll start to hear, you know, this particular person over here. They'll share with you about how God has blessed them so much, and let's say financially, you know. And they, with regards to finances, they don't have a problem. They have four. They had 3 cents in their pocket. And I still got one bad hand. So they had 4 cents in their pocket. But they're the richest people that you will ever meet. Why? Because this amount does not determine what God is doing in their life.
Amen.
How God is meeting their needs.
Yeah.
They can talk about, on the other side, maybe physically. You know, how God meets their needs with regards to their own health. Everyday health. But from one area to another area, with respects to this person knows financially, God is there. He's my backup. But this same person talking about their health, then they don't know quite as much as this other person over here that has that knowing of God's love in that area of their heart. And so I believe that, you know, what I have come to know is that God wants us to know in every aspect, in every area. It doesn't matter if you've got a hangnail, a toenail, whatever the case may be, or you've got a financial crisis of millions of dollars, or you've got a situation where, you know, you're feeling oppressed or rejected, or, you know, but God has your back because God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for us. And He wants us to know that. Again, it affects our lives about how much we know about God, how much God loves us. But it affects our lives as we look at others as well.
Yeah.
How we deal with others. How we treat others. How we see others in situations as they maybe react to us, as they maybe speak maybe not so nice to us. But how do we respond to them? Do we respond to them in a God-loving way, in a Jesus-loving way? Or do we put up our dukes and say, you know, I'm going to defend myself? See, this affects each and every part of our lives and our relationships round about in our whole being. So, in 1 John, if you have your Bibles or you have your iPads or you have your phones or you have whatever you have, okay, in 1 John 4, 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10, this is how God's love has revealed, was revealed among us. God sent his unique Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dropping down to verse 16. We have come to know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love, and the person who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So God's number one priority in our lives is for us to understand how much he loves us. Not what we may have been taught throughout years and years about how much we need to know how much we love God. Because if you grew up traditionally in the churches that I kind of grew up and went through my life, especially the later years of my life and everything else, it was all the focus about how much we need to, you know, love God, how much we need to do, how much we need to, you know, strive for. But I was never taught about how much God loves me. And that's his whole priority, is that we, his children, his creation, come to know how much he loves us. You know, when you know how much your husband or your wife loves you, cares for you, they'll lay down their life for you. You know, you have a sense of my gosh, I feel good about myself. You know, why? Because that love has caused me to feel important. That love has caused me to feel valuable. That love has caused me to have a sense of being, of worth. That's the same way God wants us to see from his perspective towards us. How much, and understand how much he loves us. Not how much we love him. He knows our hearts. Okay? But do we truly understand how much he loves us in all those areas? Because even when we read, when we could read in the quote unquote in the Gospels, where Jesus is talking and he's quoted and saying, you know, we need to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all of that. But do you know that in there, he was still under the law? There's no way what we can humanly possibly meet those criteria. And what happens when we try to meet those criteria and we fall short of them? Guess what? Now, here comes the enemy. Oh, you're no good. You couldn't even love the Lord without your heart, without your mind, without... You couldn't do all that, you know. Why? He tries to bring condemnation on us. He tries to bring, you know, a lack in our hearts. But Jesus brought it all out because he was living in those times before he went to the cross, before he established the new covenant with us. And that's why we can go on his commandment. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Okay, we can go on his love from that standpoint of view. Because again, in looking at it from that old standpoint of view, I am trying to do. I'm not trying to receive what God is trying to already give me and expose to me that I already have his fullness of his love towards him. That's why we have to kind of have that transformation, that renewing of our minds and our hearts and our lives. In 1 Corinthians, if you go there to the gospel, book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know it well. It's the love chapter. And it's interesting, though I have all the gifts and understand is that you do not have much of God's love, then if I don't have an understanding of that, what does it say? Mm-hmm. I don't have anything. I don't have anything. If we sit and we just kind of meditate on that in itself, it speaks volumes. I mean, I have all this, I have the prophecies, I have all this stuff, and I have the tongues and everything else, but if I don't have an understanding of love, I don't have anything. Though I give my whole to be, you know, sacrificed, but I don't know love, I don't have anything. That's very powerful. If God is love, I don't know him, then I don't have anything. I don't. So that's why I need to know. I need to start receiving. Instead of trying to do, I need to start receiving, resting in Him again. Mm-hmm. That rest that Pastor Henry brought out in the Psalms. Beautiful. Let me ask you this. If you don't know, if you were like me, if you don't know how much God loves you, ask Him. Papa, I'm ignorant. Just show me. Reveal to me, your son, your daughter, how much you love me. And you know, He will. He will reveal it. Because He loves you so much, He will meet you where you are. He met me where I was. And He let me know and taught me of those things. Because I had so much tradition. I had so much of the things of the past. I had so much of the performance-based acceptance person that I was. That I had to perform to be accepted. And He had to erase all that from me. From my heart. To put in truth of His unconditional love. I didn't have to do. I didn't have to say. I didn't have. If I didn't or hadn't. He still loved me unconditionally.
Amen.
And that doesn't give me a license to go out and just do or whatever. No, that to me, it just gives me more encouragement to desire that unconditional love, to walk in his love, to seek Him more and more, because that's where I want to be. You know, you can experience God's supernatural manifestations in your life. His supernatural provision in your life. His supernatural protection in your life. And yet, listen quick, and yet remain outside of His rest. Ooh. The ultimate proof, basically, comes down to proof of his faith, is not experiencing the supernatural, although that is good. That is, I mean, we don't have to say, hey, I like to be present in my life ever so often and stuff like that. But at the same time, that experience of that supernatural does not supersede the understanding of His love that produces rest. Mm-hmm. That produces rest. Yes. What is rest? It's experiencing life. It's experiencing circumstances depending upon God.
Amen.
Because circumstances, as you and I well know, are in our lives every day. And yet, if we have supernatural things happening and those kind of things, but we don't have that rest. Hey, they enter not into my rest because of their lack of faith. So we have to come into an understanding of that love that He has for us. That no matter where we are, whatever we're experiencing today or in our lives, that He has our back. That He is there for us. That He is walking through this valley and He's going to get us to the other side. No matter what it may seem, what the world may say, what this person, what this medical, what this over here, what this over there, God's word is truthful. His love towards us is unconditional. And we have to be steadfast in receiving that love from Him so that we can enter into that rest. As I go on there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, verses 4 and following and stuff like that, though I understand these things and don't feel threatened, you respond when we don't understand these things. Again, if we don't have understanding, we don't have nothing. But when we do have that understanding, then we don't feel threatened. Then we don't, circumstances may come, people might say this, or people might say, or this situation may come, or that, but we don't feel threatened. Why? Because we have that understanding of God's love, and He's got our back.
Amen.
And this Creator of the universe is not going to let us fall.
Amen.
He tells us so many times in His Word, hey, I got your back. I am your provider. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your Jehovah Shalom. I am your Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
He is all these things to us.
Yes.
He is love, is he not? He doesn't have love. He is love.
Amen.
And that love is a provider of all these different things of who he is towards us. And so when we're not threatened, we won't respond to others with negativism, but we'll respond to them like Jesus did, with more patience and kindness, even though we're going in those and we're in those adverse situations. But we look at it through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the situation through his eyes and see others with patience, with love. And looking at 1 Corinthians 13:4 and following, love is always patient, love is always kind, love never envies or arrogant with pride, nor is conceited. And she is never rude. She never thinks of herself or ever gets annoyed. She never is resentful. Is never glad with sin. She's always glad to side with truth and please that truth will win. She bears under everything, believes the best in all. There is no limit to her hope there, and never will she fall. Love never fails. And if there are prophecies, they will be done away with. If there are languages, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. So finally, as you know, that chapter concludes. There's three things. One, there's hope. What was it?
Faith.
Faith and love, right? Of these things, the greatest is love. Because when we know about God's love, then we have his faith, which gives us his hope. See, they're all three connected, but the greatest is love. It starts with that. It starts with knowing our Creator, who is love, and knowing these things in all of the areas. Because we are his children. We live in his kingdom, the kingdom of God, right? And what is the kingdom of God? It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, right standing, knowing who we are. Peace that passes all understanding. Joy amidst circumstances, amidst trials. Because we know who has our back. That's what the kingdom of God is. And where's the kingdom of God? Out there? Oh, it's within us, Jesus said. It's already here within us. So if all of that is happening within us, we have to come to an understanding of what is truly happening. What is God's love doing in us and through us and for us in all those areas? Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16. Beloved, be rooted in love, comprehend it, experience it. So knowing the full extent of God's love surpasses knowledge and enables you to be filled with his fullness. In verse 16 says, I pray that he would give you, according to his glorious riches, strength in your inner being, power through his Spirit, and then the Messiah would make his home in your hearts through faith. Then having been rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to understand with all the saints what is the breadth, the height, the width, and depth of his love. That is, you will know the love of the Messiah, which transcends knowledge. Understand this particular translation that I was just reading from. That you will have an understanding that transcends knowledge. See, that's the mental battleground that we have. Is trying to understand when we're faced with circumstances and what God says. Mm-hmm. When he says, I am your provider, I won't let you fail. And what the world, and what we're looking at, we have to transcend into what God is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, I'm with you, I'm standing with you, and I'm believing you, And whatever I can't believe for, I am depending upon you to put that into my heart.
Yes.
Because he will even do that.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, you can talk to Susan.
Amen.
Because when she was faced with a medical situation, she cried out to God and she says, I don't have the capacity. I don't have the ability. If it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's where God met her.
Yeah.
He put it in her. When thoughts, incorrect thoughts would come upon her, that's not my thought. God, it's your job. She depended upon God. And you know what? God was right there to meet her where she was at.
Yeah.
It's our tendency that we try to do for ourselves what God is so wanting to do for us. But we have to come to that part to know that his love is so powerful, that he is so willing and so readily available for us, that all we have to do is turn towards him and depend and say, Papa, it's your job. I love this one pastor that I got to meet in Cúcuta, Colombia. She says, you know, I don't have a church. She's a pastor of a very nice church. But this is God's church. And a lot of people I go to, she's talking to me, she's saying, you know, I go to the different pastors' conferences and stuff like that, and pastors' reunions and stuff, and I hear the pastors talking about, well, this, you know, this one over here and this one over here, and I've got this person over here. He says, you know, I says, well, you know, all my sheep are good. And the pastors look at her like, you know, boy, you've got a strange congregation. All your sheep are good. Yeah, all my sheep are good. She says, how can that be? He says, because they're not mine. The gods. So when they have their problems and stuff like that, I said, God, you're going to have to work it out. Because I can't, you know, it's her own jovialness, but she spoke volumes to me. As a pastor, we have a tendency to, and I speak to my pastor here, pastor for 10 years previously, we have a tendency to try to be that intermediary, you know, but we have to know when to say, God, show me what my part is so that I don't come between you and them. And so that I can be effective in what I'm doing for you and not hinder what you're trying to do with them in their lives. So she, you know, as she shared with me in her own jovial way and everything else, I learned a lot from that because she believes it and she walks that out. Hey, it's God's, they're God's sheep. He's entrusted into me. But when there's situations, I ask him, what is my part? Because I don't want to get in between them and what God is doing in their lives. It's very important in all that. And lastly, when it talks down in verse 19, this you will know, the love of the Messiah that transcends knowledge and will be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to the one who can do definitely more than we all can ask or imagine, according to the power that is working among us. According to the power that's working among us. According to that, when you look at that in the Greek, is according to what? The knowledge of God and his love that is working within me. According to how much I am trusting God in these different areas of my life. That's how effective I will see, and that's how much I will see the power of God in my life, according to how much I know how much he loves me. And for the rest of the story, my beloved.
So, you know, it seems like we've been here before, we've shared a message very similar to this, but something, God takes us through. He has to lay down a foundation. And then as time goes on, he begins to give us another portion of it. And you can't really get the next step until you're totally into this step. And so this is probably just an extension of some things we've said before, because God's extended some of the concepts in our heart. Understanding God's love for you is the number one priority. Because without it, you can't continue. And so if we go to John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. continue in my love. We can't continue until we understand how much God loves us. It's just done. So we see there's a chain here. As the Father's loved me, even so love I you, continue in my love. Jesus had to come to an understanding of how much God loved him before he could continue as the Son. And it's so amazing, as Henry was going through the songs, it was like, wow, he must have talked to Henry this morning about this message, because he mentioned that Jesus came to his glory when he heard the Father say, "You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's what Jesus had to have before he could continue. And Jesus was trained to do the work of his Father. He was the Son, and the Father was pleased with him. But that enabled him to go and be what God called him to be. So in John chapter 5, verse 19, I want to go there. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, or what things soever he doeth, these things also the Son does." It's like, however the Father loves me, I love you. We're thinking Jesus just waiting for every little voice from God. But Jesus was fueled with the compassion of the love that his Father had for him, that produced a compassion for people. And he was able to operate in the same manner that God operated. But it was all fueled by love. Because love is what initiates love. "For the Father loves the Son," verse 20, "and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth him, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will by love." Jesus raised some people from the dead, literally. But you know where the majority of the dead people are? They're walking around. They're Christians like you and I. They're people that don't understand how much God loves them, and they're dead to the spiritual things that God really wants them to see. And it's the words of the Son that flow through him, that's fueled by the love that his hot Father has for him, that quickens the dead. Jesus only expressed the things that the Father showed him. And then it says the Father placed all judgment into the hands of the Son. So if we look at verse 22, I think you need to turn here just to see this for yourself, because it really caused me to think about it. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." God is not about judging anyone, but he's committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. And when you think about that, if you go to John chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You judge after the flesh. I judge no one." And then if we go to John chapter 12, let's go there and read what it has to say about this. Because if judgment has been placed into the hands of Jesus, what does this judgment look like? And John chapter 12, starting with verse 46. It says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." What are the words that are going to judge you in the last day? It goes on farther to explain that. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." As the Father loves the Son, even so he loves us. And he said, "Now let us love one another." So what was the Father's commandment to the Son that he told him to speak? "Love your brothers as I have loved you." That's the judgment that will that Jesus is passing on to us. Jesus was the light of the world. He was the Savior of the world. He bore other people's burdens. He laid down His life for us. And so then we get to that part. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I was persecuted, and you're going to be persecuted in the same manner. And it's all within context of loving your brother. So where did Jesus' persecution come from? For Him boldly walking in the love that the Father had for Him. He wasn't challenged or threatened by people, but people tried to threaten His identity with His Father. They would come and say, you heal on the Sabbath, therefore you cannot be your Father's son. They tried to challenge His idea of God's love for Him. When Jesus heard those words, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, Satan tried to come to Him and said, if you're the Son of God, if God really loves you. And then, even when He was on the cross, some of them said, if you're really the Son of God, you can just come down for that cross, if God will have you. So all of His persecution was over this issue of love. But Jesus never once flinched. He knew exactly who He was, and He was able to love others the way the Father loved Him, because He was secure in that love. But the Word says, as my Father has loved me, even so love I you. Continue in my love. So what is God's commandment for us? To love your brothers as I have loved you. It's a chain that goes on from one to the next. In John chapter 15, verse 12, let's read this. It says, this is my commandment, that you love another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. What did Jesus hear of His Father? I love you. And Jesus says, I've made it known unto you. I love you. And now I want you to continue in I love you. He says, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit so that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. So He shows us all this love so that we can continue in that love. Jesus laid down His life for His friends. He bore their burdens. But He says, I want you to lay down your life for your friends. I want you to bear one another's burdens. I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to be the salt of the earth. He's passing on all this to us. And then, the Scripture said that all judgment was placed into the hand of the Son. God placed all judgment into the Son's hand because He said, I judge no one. But Jesus has placed all judgment into your hands as sons of God, because He judges no one. And in John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23, then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto you. Whosoever sins you retain are retained. He's placing all judgment into our hands. How we react to the world is how the world is going to see the Father. You see, Jesus loved us first, and because He first loved us, we can love one another. Love initiates love. But now, how is love going to be initiated from this point? Our love for them is going to initiate their love for the Father and their love for the Son. The scriptures say, judge not lest you be judged. All judgment's been placed in our hand. But Jesus said, I don't judge anyone after the flesh. I judge everyone according to the words that the Father has spoken to me out of love. And he says, now you go and you judge people according to the words that Jesus has spoken to you out of love. He laid down his life for you. You know, I think, well, we just tell other people about Jesus. But actually, we've been placed in the position where we are saviors of this world as well. A savior is someone who sets the others free. They liberate them. They liberate them from lies. Jesus laid down his life in an ultimate sacrifice to get rid of all the evidence that was against us. But now, the only way the world is going to know this is if we as Christians let that love, that same love that Jesus loved us with, flow through us so that they can see that truth. Love initiates love. And so there was a time when the disciples had a discussion over who was the greatest. And Jesus says, we're not like the kingdoms of this world. In the kingdoms of this world, the kings exercise lordship over the people that they rule over. But he said, this is different. The one who's greatest becomes the servant of all the others, of the least. And then he says, in verse number 27 of Luke chapter 22, for which is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not it he that sits at meat? And Jesus says, but I am among you as he that serveth. Who is sitting at the meat? We're the ones that all of God's affection is poured out upon. We're seated at the place of honor. He puts us in that position. And until you can see yourself in that position of honor, where Jesus himself is serving you, you can't continue. Because he said, continue in my love. So when we see others, we have to see, we can't say, okay, which is greatest? The one who believes the way I do, or the one who believes wrong? We have to look at them and see them seated at that table. And we're serving them the same love that Jesus served us. And you know, among Christian circles, it seems like the number one thing that people are lacking the understanding the most of is love. And why do you think that is? Because there is no continuing until we understand how much God loves us. We can't continue in what we have not understood. Love initiates love. And so when the world looks at us, we're now in the position that Jesus was. Our love for them initiates their love for the Father. Their love. In verse number 28 of Luke chapter 22, it says, You are they which have continued in my temptations. And I appoint you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. So it says, you are they which have continued in my temptation. What were the persecutions and the temptations Jesus was faced with? He was tempted to abandon the concept that God loved him. In the face of circumstances, they said, why would a God love you and have all this come against you? He was tempted to abandon God's love for him. And he said, now you will partake of those same temptations. So you see, the number one thing is for us to abandon the fact that God loves us. And it comes through people around us. It comes through yourself. You know? People react to you out of their understanding of how much God loves them. And if they don't have an understanding of how much God loves them, they will react with an offense. And you can bite it and be offended, or you can do like Jesus and keep on walking without being offended. And it's because Jesus understood how much God loved him. Turn to John, 1 John chapter 4. I want to go there because I saw something for the very first time just the other day. And it just so impacted me, and I want you to see that. We all quote the scripture, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And we've taken it out of context. So the context of where it was written really puts an understanding on that. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, we need to read this first. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I would read that, okay, we have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, I guess that's God judging me. I can stand up and say I'm perfect because Jesus made me perfect. But it's all within the context of loving your brothers. And so what is judgment? It's accusation. And when I looked up that word day, it said that particular word is always defined by its context. The day of judgment is when someone offends you with an accusation, with some temptation to cause you to feel like God doesn't love you. You can have boldness and know that God loves you. And as you know that God loves you, that temptation is overcome. And you can walk in love, and that love continue cycle is passed on. If we read down a little bit farther, I'm going to show you the context. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then in verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. When a temptation comes to me, and I get uptight and I begin to be afraid, that's because I'm not secure in God's love for me. And it has torment.
Yes.
And then verse 20, it says, If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? If you hate your brother, that means you don't love God. But what it really means is you don't know that God loves you. Because we're in this cycle. As the Father has loved the Son, even so he's loved you and continue in that love. So we are going to have temptations just like Jesus did. Every temptation is designed to strip you from that awareness that God loves you. It can come through a situation. It can come through your health. It can come from another brother. It can come from the very thoughts of your heart. Everything is designed to strip you of your awareness of how much God loves you. Because, you see, without understanding how much God loves you, there is no continuing. We've lost the whole concept of what God was trying to portray. The message, in Mark, it talks about Mark chapter 9, verse 50. It says, Salt, we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. So we're the salt of the earth. But what really is the salt? It's love. Love is good. But if love has lost its loveliness, how else are you going to season it? Love initiates love. The only way for someone to come to love is to have love initiated, and it's initiated by love. And the Message Bible says, everyone's going through a refining fire sooner or later. You can go out and find anybody, I don't care who it is, and sooner or later, everyone goes through a place where they feel threatened, or where they feel like that love that God has for them is threatened. but you'll be well preserved, protected from the eternal flames. And what are those flames? That thing that comes against God's love. Be preservatives yourself. Preserve the peace. God's put us here to do His work. And as we receive from Jesus, the love that Jesus received from the Father, we allow that to flow through us, and other people then can see God's love. But Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. See, when an offense comes, a Pharisee is offended, and a Pharisee offends. And that's because they're not secure and the love that God has for them, because their love is based on a condition. And meeting conditions does not produce love. Meeting conditions produces accusation and torment and fear. And I'd like to say that I've read all of this, I've gotten a revelation of this, and I have. But I'm never tempted to walk away from God's love. It happens every day. And so when a situation comes up in your life, that's when you have to go, stop. Do not pass go. You cannot go on from here until you stop and you go back and you allow yourself to receive from the only source you have. Because you see, love has to be received before it can be passed on. And so if you're in a place where that's been challenged, you have to stop and go back up the chain and become the receiver. Here I am, Father. For some reason, I reacted this way. For some reason, I feel threatened. And the only way it's going to change is for you to get another little shot of love. Because love is the only thing that changes things. Amen. It's the only thing that changes people. When someone comes to you and they offend you, you can confront them with what they've done wrong, and I guarantee you they'll put up a wall because they feel threatened. But if you know how much God loves you and you realize that they are reacting because they don't know how much God loves them, and you can allow that love to flow through you, their wall falls flat. Because love initiates love. And is it any wonder that this is the number one concept that all of us have trouble with? It's because it was designed to destroy your confidence in the one that really is your source. And so when you become challenged, when you become threatened, we have to remember that we boldly run to Him. I don't boldly say, okay, I've got to get myself together. I've got to do this and this and this so I won't react like this again. You know what? The Bible proved that willpower is nothing. But God power working from the inside out is the exceeding greatness of the power that enables you to do absolutely everything.
Amen.
And just the other day, Mickey and I were talking, and the enemy came against Mickey in this very area. And so I just want him to share with you a little bit about that. Because all of us need to learn how to stop, receive, and continue.
Amen.
Thank you. Just to give comment and just for confirmation that when she says that you try to stop and you say, okay, next time I'm not going to do this again and stuff like that, she can tell you it doesn't work. She's tried it. So, about a week ago, this is Sunday, yeah, a week ago, last weekend, we went up to see my parents. Both of my parents are alive and living. They're doing well. My dad and I, we've gone, maybe some of you that have heard me speak sometimes know that that's where many years ago I went into that performance-based acceptance because of some things that my dad had, you know, always spoken. You can do good, you did good, but next time you can do better, that kind of thing. So anyway, but what Susan was referring to and everything is sometimes, you know, the enemy, he will use anything and everything, and usually those closest to us,
yes,
to prod us, poke us, you know, and get us to react. And so that's basically what happened with what she was talking about with regards to my dad and stuff like that. It's just some things that, you know, in our conversations when we were there the weekend and everything, and even when we were leaving, it's usually the last words that I speak, that I hear, and I keep hearing. But I have to say that in the past, I've been able to understand, and I don't know what happened, that this time, I have to confess, basically, it's just the enemy got in, and I didn't see his tactics soon enough. And what happened was that I felt a strong rejection, which took me back many, many years into my childhood, okay? And the devil capitalized upon that. And so I know we came back on a Monday. We came back because I had to go to physical therapy on Tuesday. But Monday night, it was a very rough night for me and everything else, and I wasn't sleeping in a way. So I woke up the next morning, and it was just, as Susan has quite said many times, that, you know, as she teaches, you get into that frame, and it's like a tape recorder. You rewind and listen to it, rewind and listen to it. And as you listen to it, you're replaying, and you're feeling all those emotions. You're feeling all that rejection. You're feeling all that just, you know, you're nothing, you know, you're not worth anything, and here I am, his son. And so the enemy really capitalized on that, and I got up Tuesday morning. I just felt like a wash rag, didn't feel any good, I felt rejected, I was like in a room right here, but I felt like I was the only one here, and I was asking, crying out to God, God, where are you? And I really went to Susan then, and I said, you know, I need you to pray for me, and this is what's going on, this is what's happened, and this is what's been going on in my mind and everything else. Because I really cried out to God that morning, and I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need, you know, I know this is not correct, but I need liberty from this, and I need your liberty in my life. And later on, when I went to Susan and talked with her, and we prayed and everything, and then as she was getting ready and for us to go to the physical therapy and everything, she came out of the bedroom and everything else. She says, you know, let me tell you what God told me. And she didn't know that I had cried out to God before with regards to asking him for, I need liberation, that I need it kind of now. And when she came out of that bedroom, she said that to me, and I just stopped, you know. And she started talking, and I was just listening to the voice of the Lord speak through her. And it liberated me completely, because what? It helped me to see prospectively what the lie was and what the truth was.
Amen.
So it brought me full force all the way back around to where I knew I was a child of the living God. I knew that the tactic of the enemy, I saw the tactic of the enemy. And I saw how God was now restoring me. And to think, because as I was hearing her, I was hearing the voice of the Lord speak to me directly. And to me, it told me that God loved me so much that he would answer my prayer, that he would bring liberation to me, that he would lift me out of that miry clay and put me on his rock. As where I belong. And he used Susan to do that. And so I just, you know, just want to encourage you that, hey, we face circumstances each and every day. But we have to be reminded about how much God's love is towards us. And we have to be, you know, willing to humble ourselves in a sense, you know, to say, hey, I need help. And that's one of the things that Susan and I, in our relationship, hey, we stress that, because we know when the enemy is coming against us, either her or myself, but when we stop and then we pray and we seek the Lord to what? To bring light into that darkness that's trying to overcome us. And we're not, you know, we're not proud about that. We just say, hey,
Because what? The sooner we do that, the sooner the light comes and the sooner we get free. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that, hey, it happens to each and every one of us. But when we seek the Lord and then we can hear those voices, we can hear the voice of the Lord through a friend, through a loved one, you know, through someone who's there to pray for us and help us. And when sometimes we can't hear His voice, but we can look to our partners, you know, and they can hear the voice of the Lord for us. That's why we need each other so much, you know. That's why we have to put down that shield of pride, you know, and say, hey, I need prayer. It doesn't matter who it is, you know. I need prayer. I need your help. Because I'm at a point that I can't hear what I need to hear. I can't hear what God is really trying to tell me. I can't hear those liberating and freeing words that I need to hear. Because I know he's there, and I know He's saying them to me. I just don't have the ear to hear them at that point in time. Because I've been, like when Jesus was, you know, talking to Paul, and He says, hey, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. That phrase in the Greek means like a machine gun, a fire of machine gun of thoughts that come in one right after the other. That's that sifting as wheat. And that's what it means, is that we're listening to the voice of the enemy so much, we're replaying it so much, that we can't hear the truth. And that's why we need someone else to come and say, hey, Mick, let me tell you what God said. Let me tell you who you are. Let me put you in remembrance of who you are.
Amen.
Let me remind you of what God has spoken over you. Let me tell you what really is going on in this situation. And that brings us freedom. That brings us life. And that then helps us to continue in His love,
yes,
as we receive His love.
Amen.
God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. Awesome.